It's good to see you all this morning. You know what? I love my church. No, I really do. I mean, there's no place I'd rather be than in this house of the Lord on a Sunday morning. Amen? And I want to thank the praise team for bringing us into the presence of the Lord. Let's give them a hand right now and thank them for doing that. Amen. Amen. I mean, we missed Pastor Josh, but they did a great job. Amen. Are you ready for the word this morning to change you and to transform you and to turn you into a person that you weren't when you came in here, but you're going to be when you go out of here? I hope so. As we get started, let's stand together and repeat our Bible declaration. And if you would just stand to your feet and take your Bible in either hand, I really don't care, and raise it towards heaven and repeat this Bible declaration with me. Are you ready?
Ready?
This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. I believe it, and I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. All right, the title of the message this morning is Resisting Regret. All right? Resisting Regret. Okay. One of the things, or should I say, one of the many things that people seem to struggle with nowadays is accepting forgiveness and leaving their past in their past. Are you with me? And one of the things, or should I say again, one of the many things that Christians struggle with, and they have a hard time dealing with, is accepting the freedom that forgiveness brings them and leaving their past in their past. We really do. So often we judge things by our past. We judge whether or not we can do things by our past. Are you with me? But our past needs to be left in the past. Sometimes the past, you know, it never seems to go away. It's always popping up and popping up at very inopportune times. Are you with me? Never seeming to be permanently put away. I don't know if it's guilt or just not understanding grace. I believe that you and I understand forgiveness, right? Don't we? Okay. I mean, that's Christianity 101, okay? We understand that when forgiveness is issued, the issue that it's issued against is gone for good, right? And it's no longer an issue. Amen? Amen. But why then do we continually deal with our past, even though they are forgiven issues? Why do we do that? I mean, we're all familiar with Psalm 103, verse 12, where it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. I mean, what a wonderful promise, amen? But I wonder, you know, God may put our sin as far as the east is from the west, but the question that I want to ask you this morning is, do you let God put your sin as far as the east is from the west? Or do you readily remember your past and keep reliving it and going through the condemnation of it over and over and over again? And does remembering what you did in your past seem to dominate and crush your future? For many people it does. But how many of you know what I'm talking about this morning? Many people won't take the chance on doing something, maybe serving in the church, because in the past something has happened, so they won't put themselves out there again. And that's something that we have to learn, okay? We have to learn to live past that. Living past our past is our part. Amen? Say our part. It's our part of working out our future. I'm going to say it again. Living in the past is my part of working out my future. Okay? Amen? Are you here this morning? The message that I have for you this morning, you know, it isn't long, and you're probably saying, praise God. But I think it could be very impactful if you allow it to make its way into your heart. Let me just say this. If you want to fulfill the divine destiny that God has planned out for your life, then you're going to have to learn how to let go of some things and how to latch on to some other things. Are you with me? In other words, you need to let go of your past and latch on to your future. I want to read you a familiar portion of Scripture, and I'm sure that you've all heard it before. You probably have claimed it and stood on it and spoken it, you know. In fact, I'd like you to read this Scripture with me, if you would, all right? It's right up here on the screen, isn't it? Okay. Are you ready? All right. For I know the thoughts and plans. Let's everybody say it with me, okay? You ready? Okay. For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. How many of you this morning would like hope in your final outcome? Amen? That you'd like it to be good when you finish up, that you want to finish well. Amen? Okay. Let me tell you something this morning. I just want to make this statement, and you have to understand this, that God's plan for your life is pleasing to Him, and it holds promise for you. All right? I'm going to say that again. God's plan for your life is pleasing to Him, and it holds promise for you. Don't ever think that God has forgotten to give you a future, because He has not only given you a future and a hope, He equips you for that future and hope as well. Hallelujah. Why don't you turn with me, please, to the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 13, and I'll be reading out of the Amplified Bible this morning. All right? Why don't you wave at me when you're there? Philippians 3, 13. Okay. This is Paul speaking here, and he says this. He says, I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet, but one thing I do. It's my one aspiration, he says, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Amen? Ron's not here, so Gary, why don't you come up and pray, please? I was going to have Ron Swanson pray this morning, but...
He's doing his
rounds. I know.
Father, thank you for today. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence in this place, God. Father, right now we just open ourselves up to you, God. We open ourselves up to your word. Lord, I pray that you just have your way in each one of us today. Father, I thank you, Lord. Thank you for Pastor Wes. I thank you for just for him to... That he seeks you, God, that he comes up with a word that is just for us. Father, again, we just pray that you would have your way in each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Gary. I just want to say this, Chrissy, you just did a great job. I mean, the whole praise team, and amen, amen. And I think every time she leads worship, it just gets better. And better and better. And that's a compliment to the whole praise team, not just her, but there's something to be said for leadership. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. There are times in our lives, moments, if you will, that we step back and take a look at our lives, you know, who we've become or what we've accomplished or not, okay? And maybe we realize that we haven't actually accomplished some of the things that we wanted to accomplish by this time in our lives. I know I do that. How many have been there? Okay? I believe that it's in times like these that the Holy Spirit is knocking on the door of our hearts. Okay? It's as if the Spirit Himself is saying to us, I'm giving you an opportunity for a new start. How many of you like do-overs this morning?
Yes.
What are they called in golf? Mulligans?
Mulligans,
that's right. Okay? I'm not talking about re-receiving forgiveness. We all know that that's an instantaneous thing. We ask, we get. Amen? I'm talking about walking. Say walking. I'm talking about walking in that forgiveness. Because understand something this morning. Just because God forgives you, and that's a great thing, but it doesn't guarantee that you will walk in the freedom of that forgiveness. Walking in the freedom of that gift of forgiveness begins It's your choice. It's not God's guarantee. Okay? Are you with me? Are you understanding what I'm saying? I mean, our being forgiven is just plain guaranteed, but you're not guaranteed. He does not guarantee that you will walk in that. That is your part of it. Amen? If you want to talk negatively in your life and everything you say is negative out of your mouth, it's not going to feel like you're walking in the gift of forgiveness, the freedom that forgiveness brings. Okay. Because many times, instead of walking in that freedom, we walk in the regret of our past. Yet, walking in freedom is a byproduct of forgiveness. It truly is. Did you hear me this morning? Walking in freedom is a byproduct of forgiveness. And I want you to know this morning, if this is what you find yourself doing, you know, if you can't help but focus on your past, if you can't help but keep on thinking about how you failed, I have a suggestion for you, okay? Instead of living under the power of regret, amen, which is the power of the enemy, are you with me today? I would like you today to start to trust in the freedom of forgiveness. Amen. Let go of your past and latch on to your future. Forget about your failures and put your focus on your future. Now, say now. Okay? Now is a perfect time to make that change. Nobody's going to make it for you. It's something that you have to do. And I think if that's one thing that I'm focusing on this morning more than anything is God is a wonderful, great, fantastic, indescribably wonderful God. But we have a responsibility in this to show forth his good works. How? By walking in the freedom of forgiveness. Amen? The Apostle Paul gives us some very good advice in the book of Philippians for leaving the past behind and focusing, if you will, on the future. I'm going to read it again. He said this, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." That's what he was going to do. The Amplified really brings out more than just the New King James does there. But have you ever wondered why Paul wrote that we should forget those things that are behind us? Why did he write that? Well, it was because he had learned that we need to release the past or we will relive the past. Amen? We will relive the past. Because when you bring your past into today, you will live that past yet another day. You will. If you bring that into today, you'll end up doing it again today. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather leave my past in my past. Amen? And I'm not always good at it, okay? I mean, every single time and every single issue that comes up in my life, I'm not always good about leaving my past in my past, but I know that I need to do that, all right? I'd rather receive forgiveness and walk in that freedom. And I'd rather release than relive, okay, those things that hindered me and haunted me in my past. Are you with me? Okay, are you with me? I'm with you, Wes. Good preaching. That's good. Okay. I want to take some time, if you will, to focus on the part of Philippians chapter 3 that we just read, where Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. How many of you know this morning that everything that's written in the Bible is written there for a reason? Even though it may seem to be a couple of words that, you know, has no power at all, it's written for a reason. The word forgetting in this verse is taken from the Greek word epilentano, okay, which is a compound of two words, epi and lentano. When these two words are compounded into one word, like they are in this verse, it is translated as forgetting, okay? However, the first part of this Greek compound word is epi, which in this context denotes a turning, okay? As in turning away from one thing to focus on something else. The second part of this compound word is the word lentano, which comes from a root that describes something that is finished, done with, or is obsolete in your life. When these two words are joined together, they form a word which portrays the idea of something that we should turn away from and forget about, something that should be finished with and put out of our minds. It paints a picture of something that is to be put aside, okay, or deliberately discounted, something that is purposely passed over or deliberately discarded. And finally, it's something that is to be fully forgotten. You know, guys, like the stuff that your wife told you yesterday. Fully forgotten. So that, forgotten to the point anyway, so that it becomes something that may have been true in the past, but it is not true in the present. Glory to God. How many of you have things in your life or about your life that were true in the past, but they are not true in the present? Praise God. See, that's the grace of God. Amen. That's the grace of God. If you were to paraphrase this word into today's language, you could say this. It could mean to just stop thinking about it. Okay? Just stop thinking about it. Put it out of your mind. Put it behind you. Wipe it out and erase it from your memory. Get it out of your system. Quit paying attention to it. Are you with me this morning? Get your eyes off from it. Be oblivious to it. And just plain forget about it. Paul is telling you and I to purposely put these things behind us so we can purposely progress in our walk with the Lord. It won't happen any other way. Okay? It won't happen any other way. But wait. What was it Paul was telling you and I to forget? Okay? He said, forgetting what? Those things which are behind. Somebody needs to hear this morning. I don't know who it is, but I believe somebody needs to hear it. But so please just pay close attention to this because you're about to hear something that's really, really powerful. The word behind is the Greek word opiso, which describes something that is so obsolete that it should be permanently relegated to the past. It's to be abandoned and left behind. This is something in your past that should be left in your past. Why should it be left in your past? So it stays in your past and doesn't work its way back into your present, okay? Like I was preaching last week and talking to you about, things can find their way back into our lives. Maybe things that we worked so hard to get out of our lives. But for some reason, they come back and we accept them back into our life. But I'm telling you right now, our past needs to stay in our past. It's behind you. And you are never, say never, you're never to turn around and look at it again according to this word. You're never to focus on it again so as to bring it into your present. In other words, the Greek word opiso means this, relinquish it and never revisit it. Okay, relinquish it and never revisit it. Also, this word opiso is the same word that is used in Matthew 16:23 when Peter tried to interfere with the plan of God for Jesus to go to the cross. You remember that. You remember the verse where Jesus said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Wouldn't you just love it if Jesus called you Satan? I mean, how terrible is that, really, you know? When Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan," the word behind was the same Greek word opiso that Paul used in Philippians 3:13 when he told us to forget the past. This means, and this truly does mean this means that when you're hassled, harassed, or tormented, or tested by any of your past failures, you know, it might not just be your memory speaking to you. It might just be Satan trying to harass you and harm you, okay? The devil could be trying to drag you back into your past, and he would love to do that in hopes of making your past into your present and your failure into your future. Are you with me this morning? Now, I'm just about done because I didn't want to preach a long message this morning. I wanted you to get a hold of the idea that you leave your past in your past and that it's biblical that you should really just forget about it. Because I talk to so many people that bring up their past. And their past is under the blood, amen? Their past is covered by the blood of Jesus and it can't be seen anymore by God. So why do we keep on bringing it up to God? Amen? But anyway, when this happens, we need to do the same thing that Jesus did when he rebuked the devil. We need to speak with a boldness and with a firmness and the authority and tell the devil in Jesus' name, in the name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, I rebuke you now. Do you remember when you used to rebuke the enemy when he came at you in your life? But now you're mature, right? You don't do that anymore. I want you to know that some of those old things that you laid down at the beginning of your walk, not the bad things, but the good things that you picked, you need to pick them up again. Amen? You need to rebuke the enemy when he comes into your life. You need to rebuke those situations that bring you from your present back into your past. I don't ever want to revisit my past. My wife doesn't want me to ever revisit my past. Amen? So, what does it amount to? Don't listen to the lies. Okay, don't listen to the lies. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm not going to listen to lies. Your past, and please hear this, your past is under the blood of Jesus Christ and is no longer applicable to your life, period. No matter how much the enemy brings it up, no matter how much your memory brings it up, no matter how much your old friends bring it up, no matter how much anybody brings it up, it is not applicable to who you are. Why? Because you're a new creature in Christ. That old stuff that used to be attached to you, it isn't attached to you anymore. So quit bringing it up. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. You know, and this is all a decision. I mean, you have to make the decision, and hopefully today, you make the decision and you do it on purpose that you're finished with the fixing your mind on things that are in the past, things that you have repented of, things that you have or have been erased by the blood of Jesus, things that are focused to bring you down instead of lift you up. You know, I have found that whenever you get lifted up, Are you with me? Whenever you get lifted up by the Lord or you're lifted up by maybe a brother or a sister, there is another brother and sister that will come and take you down. You can't listen to what that other brother or sister says, okay? You can't listen to that. You have to listen to what the Lord said either through people or to you. Amen? Amen. You have to rely on your faith, not upon the way that other people are going to talk to you, because every single time, I have had words given to me by people, and it just touches my heart. And I make, you know, this 90-degree turn, and there's another person coming up to me and telling me the exact opposite. Haven't you ever had that happen?
Yeah.
Come on. But you have to focus on the things that will bring you up, lift you up, not on the things that will take you down. See, and this is probably so foreign to so many of us, and so many of us don't like to admit this because there's a certain movement called the faith movement, which I ascribe to more than you probably would think, okay? But there's times when it's taken way to an extreme. But you have the power in Jesus' mighty name right now to turn away from yesterday and start focusing on today. You have the power to start saying, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. And those aren't empty words. They aren't empty words. And for some reason, as we mature, we end up living in more regret than we do freedom. Okay? And living in regret will only keep you from moving forward into your future. An interpretive translation of Philippians 3:13 could be read like this, okay? It's time for you to turn loose of the past. You need to put it aside, deliberately ignoring and purposely disregarding what happened yesterday. The past is old and obsolete, so why fixate on it any longer? Stop turning around to reflect and revisit the past. You need to get it out of your system, put it behind you forever, and purposely forget about it. See, that's right. That's right. You can put the past behind you and never revisit it again. I don't plan on ever revisiting my past. And so I'm not going to receive the condemnation that comes from revisiting the past in my mind. If you need to repent for past failures, then repent and walk away from it. The word repent is a powerful word. when you do it. When you actually really and truly repent, when you actually really turn around and go the exact opposite way from what you were going before and what you were becoming before, that's powerful. And God honors that. And when we do that, he forgives us and gives us the freedom to walk in that forgiveness. But after you sincerely repent, it's absolutely time for you to quit fixating on what you failed to do and thank God for your fabulous future. Amen? I can think of things that I would tell you right now that about my past that would make you probably not come back next week. I would hope not. Maybe. And that's probably the same way for you. But you don't have to. You don't have to live there. I don't have to live there. I'm not even saved 40 years, okay? I left there 40 years ago, and I'm not going back there, and I'm not letting that come back in my house. So you have to let go of the past and just latch on to the future. And, you know, that's really all I have to say to you today, is we have been given such a glorious future. You know, I like sometimes to tell people I got this great retirement plan, okay? You know, I get to go to heaven and be with Jesus. And I have a great boss. He lets me go from work anytime I want, you know. But the truth is, God has set it up so that we do have a fabulous future, that we do have a wonderful present, because we don't have to have our past be like cohabitate our present. Amen? That past is gone. And if the enemy comes at you and says, you know what, well, what about when you did this? You know what you say? The blood of Jesus covered that. Amen. The blood of Jesus covered that. My sin is put as far as the east is from the west. I mean, so has God removed my transgressions from me. That is glorious, amen? And you ought to get excited this morning about the fact that he does that for you. Do you remember what it was like when you were a sinner and when you realized that you were a sinner and how much you had to repent? God is good. And all the time. To who?
To me.
And I just want you to think about what I felt God put on my heart this morning. I don't know. There might be one person dealing with their past, can't seem to get past it. There might be many people dealing with their past. If I were to look at it, you know, how I begin to see it or how I've been programmed to see it because of the people that come in to see me, most everybody is dealing with their past. You don't have to. It's not there. Say this after me. It's not there.
It's not there.
My past
is not there.
Glory to God. Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Praise him. Praise him for that this morning. Amen. Christy, could you come up? And I don't know what you have for closing, but I would just like to open this altar. If you've been fixating on your past and you want to not fixate on your past any longer, then I would say this altar would be a good place for you to get that started this morning. Amen? Amen.
When I was praying, it hit me, and I didn't want to say it then because I didn't know where Pastor West was going with the message, and I guess now I should know that I should have said it right then. But I remember when I first got saved, and as Pastor said, you know, you wouldn't want to know what was in his past. You certainly don't want to know what was in mine. But when I got saved, I was set free, and I felt free. I mean, I felt like I was walking on air, walking on clouds. That I was so free. But the enemy, the voice, the negative voice would come to me and say, well, what about that? What about that? Surely God can't forgive you for that. And I learned to say, oh, that's right. Thank you, God, for forgiving me for that too, because I'm forgiven for everything. And eventually the enemy stopped coming at me because he knew every time that he came with me with something negative, I would hit him with
Thank you, God, for forgiving me for that too. So it was good to repent of every one of those and get them out of there, but don't let the enemy win. So thank you, Pastor Wes.